Jesus said that there is a truth that will set you free, that knocks down barriers and breaks chains, a truth that breathes hope, peace, life into those who hear it. And the truth was himself. In Jesus, you are free, period. In Jesus, you are forgiven, perfected, free from the penalty of sin, free from death, free from judgment, free from shame and guilt. In Jesus, you have value. You are spoken for. You are wanted and worthy. In Jesus, you can know true rest, real rest, rest for your soul. More than anything, in Jesus, you have a purpose. This, all of this is true. It is God's truth for the world. It is God's truth for you. In Jesus, you are free. You are perfectly, wonderfully, truly free.
How are y'all? Good. Students, y'all awake? Nope. All right. We were going through this weekend, that song King of Kings was sung, and it reminds me of this weekend, because we had some good news this weekend. We had, I don't know how else to say it, but we really had some good news. And I want to first kind of start out and just kind of introduce who our speaker and band was. His name was Matt Beerhouse. He is from Florence at Underwood Baptist Church. He was the former student pastor at West Point Baptist Church. He had come down, he spoke to us Friday night, Saturday night. Our band was High Point Worship. They're a church out of Corner. I'm good friends with a worship leader, Matt, and they came and just led us in worship, led us to the throne every night. I want to kind of get into some specifics. I don't want to say these numbers and you just like, okay, well, that's cool, or good job, or, clap. I want us to celebrate. I want us to celebrate, meaning praise God for what he did. Not just a clap, but a thankful heart of going, God, yes. Thank you, God, yes. We're still kind of getting the numbers on this, but we had 90 students total this weekend. Not just Smoke Rise, but Crossroads, Smoke Rise, First Baptist. We had 90 students in this building Friday night, Saturday night. Yep, that's good. Smoke Rise, we had 37 students total here on Friday, Saturday night, and in these host homes. Pray for those host homes that they can repair whatever's been done. And I'm not talking about somebody broke something. I'm talking about if these high school, middle school boys left a stench that it can get clean. That student center is going to have to be deep cleaned and just sanitized. Here's why we did D-Now. Here's why we came together. We had two salvations. There was a girl from Crossroads that was saved Friday night, and we had a student that's with us this morning that was saved last night. Amen. And that's why we do D-Now. That's it. We do it so people come to know Jesus. They don't hear about him, they don't learn about him, but they know Jesus. Because it's one thing to know, to hear and learn, but it's another to know. So we had one student come and met Jesus for the first time ever. We have multiple rededications. This altar was filled last night. Students praying. Just maybe they have walked away from God. Maybe they've got some things messed up and they wanted to correct it. We had the speaker last night. He had three chairs up here. The one chair was the carnal person, meaning they don't know God. They live for the world. We had the spiritual person, meaning they are striving to learn more and more about Jesus each day, and not to not sin less, but they live to sin less. So that spiritual person. Then we had the person of the flesh. They're a believer, but man, they're just doing their own thing. They're so far from God, but they have a relationship, but they're so far. So last night, I firmly believe there's a lot of students in this chair right here, that person of the flesh. They know Jesus, man, they are not living for Jesus. But our prayer was they would make that switch to this seat. They would start working towards this seat, growing to know more and more about Jesus, being obedient to his truths. I had one student this morning, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, that wants to be baptized. She's been saved, and she's never been baptized. So we got one student that wants to be baptized. We have another one to be baptized next Sunday. So we had a lot of good things happen this weekend. And I can't just leave it there. I have to thank people that were involved with this, because students, if these people wasn't involved, we didn't have this. First, it's your church family. They provided us a place to come and worship Jesus, to learn about Jesus. So we thank the church. We thank some small group leaders, Carson Peterson, Andrea Goff, Madison Mickle, and Jack Crumpton. Y'all led these students. Y'all put up with these students. Y'all developed patience for life. But you poured into these students. You loved these students. You got to get to know these students. Host homes, Josh and Hannah Smith, thank you. Courtney and Augie Grill, thank you. Scott and Glenna Trammell, thank you. Once again, the church allowing us to use the student center for these middle school boys. I don't want to name all the volunteers because I know I'm going to forget somebody, but if you helped me this weekend, help these students, transportation, logistics, details, behind the scenes, if I didn't even know you was here, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I couldn't have done it. Y'all were instrumental this weekend. The media team, and if I forget somebody, please forgive me. Jake and Jada McCoy, thank you. Jack and Maria, thank you. Ms. Aaron Large, thank you. Dalton Stewart, thank you. I know there's somebody else I'm forgetting, so thank you. But we're about to do something. They're about to show a slideshow. And this was put together by another person on the media team, Alyssa Stewart. Alyssa Stewart was married to her camera all weekend, walking around, taking pictures. At one point, she was perched up there on the baptistry taking pictures. And she went to the trampoline park with us, taking pictures. So thank you, and I want to show that slideshow just so y'all could experience what we did this weekend, and maybe God will touch your soul through it.
Thank you.
Funny story, Mitzi fell in that foam pit and it took us, 15 minutes to get you out?
Yeah.
So,
Whoa. Tell your story of falling.
Yeah, it took you like 10 to get out of that.
Okay, we're not going to tell that story. I almost got suffocated to death by an inflatable a mattress, so whatever it's called. That's just kind of a glimpse of the weekend. We got to learn more and more about being set free by Jesus. The overall goal was to learn to live out our freedom in Christ. Our theme verse was John 8, 31 through 32. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The big idea was how to truly live truly free when this world is full of shackles. See, church, we live in a world where it tells you that you have to live a certain way in order to make it. In order to succeed, you have to live a certain way. You have to do certain things, say certain things, look a certain way. And if you don't look this way, do these things, you will never know success. And most of all, you will be miserable for your entire life. But what does Jesus say? If you know me, if you know Jesus, you will know freedom. And when you know freedom, you will truly live free. See, church, it's not about us just doing our own thing, but when we're obedient to Christ, we're living in freedom. How do we live in freedom if we're obedient to somebody else? Because we're not chained down by something that will be destroyed. We're not chained down by something that won't last forever. But when we are obedient to Christ, we'll know freedom because Jesus will be forever. And Jesus offers us life. Just like he told the woman at the well, you'll never thirst again. You'll never want anything else because you have me. So this week, The prayer for these students was not just to have fun, make memories, but my goal and my prayer was that these students would just have a taste of what it is to truly be free in Christ. That's first, it starts out being saved from your sins. That's when you know freedom, but if they know Jesus, if they've been saved, may they learn to walk in freedom. Now, they're not going to learn it overnight because that's called sanctification. That's us learning how to be sanctified, how to be set apart. So this journey that we go on in our life, may we learn freedom and may we learn to walk in that freedom that Christ offers. Jesus said, if you want to lose your life, you will find it. In Matthew 10, 39 says, anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. If you proclaim to know Jesus, you must lose your life. You must lose the desires to satisfy what you want. But when you live for Christ, you lose that desire to live for yourself and you desire to live for him. So being truly free is living for Jesus, being obedient to Jesus, and doing the things Jesus told us to go do, and that is tell people about him and baptizing them and learning more about him. Us to learn more about Jesus and live in this life through that. That was the whole message this weekend. I know some of us in here, I know me especially, I graduated high school in 2005, and I can just promise you it is a lot different than when I graduated high school. Students nowadays have more thrown on them than we could ever imagine. And it's not just schoolwork, it's social media, it's their cell phones, it's friends, it's things that can grab their attention. There's more out there, there's more distractions, there's more shackles, there's more chains out there than ever before. So this weekend, it was so important to learn, Jesus offers freedom. It was same 2,000 years ago, it's same today. He offers freedom. You don't have to try to fit in. You don't have to try to meet a certain criteria. You just live in freedom. You live in Jesus. You learn more about Jesus. Jesus will offer you rest. Jesus will offer you courage. Jesus will offer you a foundation that will never be shaken. I love that song, King of Kings, because it says, this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. When Jesus went to the cross, he died for our sins, he went to the tomb, he rose on the third day, it will not change. It will be forever and ever and ever until he comes again and settles it once and for all. Jesus is the foundation in which we build our life. It will not faint. It will not be overcome. He will never be defeated. That's truth for us today. That's truth that these students heard about. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, your life's going to be hard. But that foundation that is being built will never change. This world changes. Every other day, there's something new. There's something better. Jesus has been the same, and they've been the constant forever. He will never change. Build our foundation on him. Build our foundation on what matters. And as students heard on Friday night, it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with salvation. We cannot be set free by our good works or by our doing. Being set free is to be set free from sin. Some of us in here have been saved many, many years. You were set free at that time. You're still set free today. It's not changed. But we often put ourselves back into the shackles that we were saved from because it's comfortable to us. But what does Jesus say? It's death. There's no life in the shackles. There's no life in the sin. Sin equals death. You start with your freedom from sin. That's where it starts. And when you're free from sin, get ready to watch God do some amazing things through your life. Students, it starts with Jesus. Doesn't start with your knowledge. Doesn't start with what you think you know. Each and every day, you go to Jesus. And just ask Jesus, show me. Show me today how to lose my life so that I can gain life. I can know freedom. It starts there and it'll always start there. And one day, here's the good news, it'll end there. Jesus is coming back. When Jesus is coming back, he's coming back to end it all. We will be for him forever and ever and ever. Amen. I think Randy Travis wrote a song about that. But it wasn't about that. But Jesus is coming back. He will reign forever. Randy Travis is a country singer from like a long time ago, in case y'all didn't know. He is the only one that can give you true life. And we learned what, okay, students, I'm going to test you. You ready? This is for y'all to tell the congregation what you learned this weekend. Y'all ready? What does abide mean?
To dwell.
To dwell. Yes. Good job. Oh, they paid attention. I'm so proud. Now the girls answered, not the guys, so go figure. But it's okay. It's okay. The girls knew. The girls knew. But to abide means to dwell. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you dwell in his word. That doesn't mean you go to it once a week, once a month, every now and then. To dwell means to be in it every day. To sit in it. When his word speaks, we sit in it. What is your word? What does your word give us truth for today? This is also, it's a conditional statement. If you abide, you are my disciples. You meet the conditions and the outcome will happen. If I was to walk into that door, it will hurt. The condition of me walking into a door will hurt. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. That means you're learning from Jesus. You're going into this world telling people about Jesus. And when you abide in his word, not only will you know his word, but his word will give you life, he'll give you freedom, and it will tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus and to be set free from sin, then you must accept him as a Savior. You can't be a disciple and just be here on Sunday mornings. You can't be set free just by attending church. If you want to be a disciple and be set free from sin, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you want to know freedom from this world, be obedient to His word. If you want to be free from the chaos and the stress and the anxiety of this world, be obedient to His word. His word offers life. This relationship with Jesus changes everything. It is the basis of everything that we know to be true about ourselves and our faith. Without this foundational relationship with Jesus, we are more than helpless. Church, understand me. Students, understand me. If you heard all about Jesus, Jesus saving you, and you did not make that decision, today's the day you make that decision. You say, you know what, I've fought it all weekend. Today, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to follow Jesus. If you decide to walk out these doors not knowing Jesus, understand you have put yourself and your eternity at risk. It is a gamble every time. Every breath you take is a gamble. If you want to know Jesus, you must know Him as your Savior. He will set you free from sin. He will give you new life, and He will give you life abundantly. To know Jesus is to follow Him, as we see in verse 31. Verse 32, to know Jesus is to know the truth. And verse 32 also, to know Jesus is to be set free. So this weekend, how we did our sessions, Friday night we combined sessions 1 and 2, and then Saturday we combined 3 and 4. And we talked about God sets us free from distress and despair. As I talked about these three chairs that we often find in ourselves. Psalms 118, 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Students, I want y'all to make that your life statement. Just make that your life statement. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You're going to have a lot of fears in your life coming up. Adults, y'all can attest to that, and y'all still got some fears coming up as well. Church, this is what we should write on our hearts every day. The Lord is on my side. If you are a believer, He is on your side. He is next to you. He is in you. He is with you. He is on your side. I will not fear. Church, if Jesus has saved you, do not fear. Because what can man do to me? That's good news. What can man truly do to me when the Lord is on my side? What can he do? He can't do nothing. Man can't hurt me. Man can't do anything to me because the Lord is on my side and I am with him forever. I have nothing to fear. I can walk in this life truly free because I have nothing to fear. Verse 7, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. When this was written, by the children of God in the wilderness as they were traveling out of Egypt. They were in a place of despair. If you've read the time in the wilderness, it was a time of despair, a time of unknown. It was a time of faith. And when they wrote this, they shall not fear. That was a truth that they lived in. They were miserable, yet they gave thanks. God is to be praised. We are to thank Him. Why? He is good. He is steadfast. His love never goes away. We see this word good, and we are kind of underwhelmed because good is not great. Good is less than great. But the psalmist is saying that God is perfectly good from a moral perspective. In other words, He is not bad. Now, I know bad means good in y'all's lingo, and so, like, that's not what he's saying. So he's saying he is not evil. He is incapable of evil. He is nothing but goodness. Furthermore, he is steadfast. He is unchanging. He is perfectly faithful. He'll never not be there for us. And finally, God is unfailing. His love endures forever, meaning it lasts forever. It pursues us forever. These are all true, and they compel us in our desire to praise Jesus. Verse 5 is a perfect reminder that God shifts the narrative. He shifted. He is the shift from the pain. When I call out to him, he provides the safe place. I can't depend on man to meet my distress, in my distress and chaos. I can't rely on the government to take care of me when times are bad. I rely on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the provider. He will always provide. His love endures forever. I can find a safe place in him. So I turn to the one who can, and the best promise will. Church, he will. Not maybe, not depending on his mood for the day, not depending on what you did yesterday or going to do tomorrow. He will meet all your needs. He will be your constant. He will be with you forever. We learn that Christ, in Christ we are set free and sin and death and to walk in the goodness of life. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of the sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Students learn that being set free in Christ means being set free to serve God. So, 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Be subject to the Lord's sake for every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to his governor sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should not be put to silence the ignorant. You should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom to cover up for evil, but as living as servants of God, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. We learn that being set free in Christ means there's no condemnation. Meaning when God looks at you and sees that you have been bought by the blood of Jesus, you are free from the penalty of sin. So no matter what Satan, your mind, or any other say about you that has no sticking power, doesn't matter what he's going to say about you, and he's going to say a lot because he likes to run his mouth. Satan likes to tell you all the things you've done wrong, all these mess ups, all your past failures, your current failures. He likes to bring it all up to you. He likes to say, this is how incapable you are of serving God. This is you're incapable of doing your job, incapable of loving your family as a husband, as a wife, loving your children. You're incapable because of your failures. That past sin, it makes you disqualified. You are no longer capable of doing what you are called to do. You are not good enough. See, Satan likes to run his mouth. Well, here's what we got to understand. When Jesus set you free, he shut his mouth. He shut the mouth of Satan. He said, you know what? I defeated you. Now shut up. That's bad. I shouldn't say that in church. My bad. But he said, be quiet. No more. You got no power over this child. My child. You got no more power. I've overcome you, I've overcome death, I've overcome sin, I've overcome it all. Leave my child alone. They are mine. They've been bought with a price. My blood covers them. You have no authority, no more. When you're set free from the devil. You're set free from sin. You're set free from your mistakes. You're set free from it all. Stop living in chains. Stop living in shackles. Live in freedom. Know Jesus. When you know Jesus, you'll know freedom. There's an evangelist that I follow on social media. His name's Shane Pruitt. He made this post the other day. And it's something that stuck with me for a long time. The gospel saves you from sin, death, destruction, rebellion, hell. The gospel saves you too. A relationship with God, eternal life, obedience, heaven, and a mission. So we like to see what God saves us from, but what's he save us to? You have a mission, students, to go tell others about Jesus. Not to know everything the Bible says, not to know every theological point, not to know these different sects of all this, this, and this, but you are to go tell people about Jesus. You do that by your mouth and by your actions. It's so simple. Go tell people God loves them. But don't just tell them. Go show them. Go serve them. Go be a friend. Go be what Jesus was for us, a servant. You have a mission. Church, we have a mission. These students learn what is truly free. You're learning today. To be truly free is to know life and life abundantly. You have a mission. You have a mission. You have a mission. We all have a mission to go and love others and to tell others about this saving power known as the gospel. We have a mission, and we are to go and live out this mission. We have been set free from so much to be set free to do so much. Church, we have so much we got to do. We have a world that's dying and going to hell, and we have the message. We hear it on Sundays and Wednesdays. Maybe we read it every day. We have the message of salvation. Go share it. You don't have to know the entire Romans road to salvation, the track that you were given, or the other avenues to share the gospel. You just need the Bible. It's not your job to save people. It's not your job. God does the saving. We're just obedient and going telling others about it. Go tell others about Jesus. Now, don't go tell people about Jesus and be a jerk. Go tell others about Jesus and love them the way Jesus loved you. Because you understand, God takes sin seriously. God will one day judge sin seriously. And he judges sin so seriously, he sent Jesus to be the substitute for us. Don't hold that salvation message just in your heart and in your mind. Go tell us. Give it freely away. Let God do the saving. But let us be obedient in going and doing that. As we close, I want to read this. It's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, hear me, church, you were in sin. You were destined for hell. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship," meaning you are still his workmanship. If you were saved at 5 years old and you're 80 years old, you're still his workmanship. He's still working in you. He's still shaping and molding you. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let God use you. Students, let God use you. Don't resist it. He works through you. He gives you the knowledge. He gives you the strength. He gives you the courage. Let God, who is doing a good work, continue to do work. Don't be a roadblock. You will never know what God can do through you until you are obedient to him. You want to be used by God? Be obedient to him. Walking according to the world's standards leads to death and leads to a wasted life. This world has nothing to offer you. Jesus has everything. Walking according to his word brings us life and life abundantly. We will never know freedom when we live according to this world. We will only know freedom when we find it in Jesus. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 shares this beautiful picture that God gave us a great and precious, valuable gift called grace. Through that grace, we are able to not only live free, but to share with others how to do the same. God's placed grace in your heart. You are forgiven. You are forgiven, church. Go show grace to others. Show them that saving power that Jesus offers. This week I told you that we had a student from Crossroads and a student here that was saved. Next week, one of our students, Haley, will be baptized right over here. This morning, I had another student, Layla Graves, who came to me and said, I've been too shy. I've been saved, I'm too shy. But I want to be baptized. See, church, God moves through all of the roadblocks if you're just obedient to Him. God does a great work in our lives when we're just obedient. I shared my testimony of my fears, but I was obedient to what God called me to do, and God wiped those fears away. God can do incredible things through you when you're just obedient. If you don't believe me, test Him. Find out. If He's calling you to do something, you know what? I'm going to try that. I'm going to see if that's really the case. If He's calling you to it, He will work through you. So next week, we get to celebrate once again what God is doing in our student ministry, our high school ministry, in our middle school ministry, children's ministry, in this church, and also this community. My prayer is that this weekend will not just be an ending, but a beginning of what God's going to do through our students and through the next generation. But this generation and the generation behind me, we still have a work to do. Love these students. Church, hear me. Listen. Love these students. Most of all, pray for these students. They're in a battlefield that we can't even comprehend. Right now, they understand that they're living in this freedom, but tomorrow or Tuesday when they go back to school, they're going to be bombarded with that sin again. Pray for these students. Mentor these students if you feel so led. But plead with God every day for their lives and their souls. And when we take it to the King and we take it to Him, He's going to begin to do a good work in their lives. And I can't wait to see what God does. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. God, we thank You. God, we just praise You for what You're doing. God, I'm asking today, and I'm pleading with You, God, that if You're still working in somebody's heart this morning, whether they were part of D-Now, God, or whether they're just here visiting, but God, if You're doing a big work in somebody's life, God, I plead and beg, may they come to this altar and they be saved today. May they grab a friend, may they grab a small group leader, may they grab somebody and come to this altar and be saved, put their faith in Jesus. But God, if there's somebody here that is saved, they've been so far away from You, God, they're living back in bondage. They're living back in chains. God, I pray that they will find freedom today and that freedom is found in You. God, may they turn from the life of sin they're in and learn to what means to walk in Your freedom. God, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for grace. Thank You for freedom. Thank You for defeating the devil, defeating his lies, defeating the enemy forever. God, thank You for defeating him so that we may know freedom. He has no more power over us. God, He is no longer our authority, but God, You alone are our authority in life. So God, thank You for breaking the curse of sin. In Your name we pray. Amen.